Welcome to the Divine Style Podcast with Jalinda Stella, personal stylist and self-love coach, and Alison Maiden, psychic medium, spiritual healer and metaphysical teacher. Each episode, you'll experience spiritual lessons to cultivate self-love and self-expression so you can become the best version of you.
Hi, I'm Jalinda. This week, Alison is away as she is taking a very well-deserved break after a lot of work traveling around Australia. And I have a very special guest. Amy Harrison is a kinesiologist. She's been a kinesiologist for over 15 years. And today we will be talking about the conscious and the subconscious mind and how kinesiology is a tool to access that. Firstly, Amy, tell me how this all got started. How did you first discover kinesiology?
When I was 15, I got really sick. And I got what we'd call chronic fatigue syndrome. And I didn't get any help from mainstream medicine. And I got sicker and sicker until 18. I really had a breakdown. And the mainstream medicine I went to just told me to stop being so hard on myself and get over it, which is not very helpful. And it was pretty terrifying. And my lovely aunt, who was seeing a naturopath, told me to go see a naturopath. And I went to see the naturopath and I started to get better. But it only got me so far. And then I studied Chinese medicine for a few years, and that, you know, it opened up again to me the concept of holistic healing and the connection between the mind and the body. But I was still not really understanding why I got sick to begin with. And I wanted to know why. Like, I'd lost my health, I'd lost my vitality, I was exhausted, I was having anxiety, I had panic attacks, and I didn't understand why, and I wanted to understand why. And eventually I went and saw a kinesiologist, and it was just such a breakthrough moment for me, because what kinesiology does is uses muscle testing to identify where stress and imbalance is being held in the body and the mind, and what the original cause of the imbalance is, that is the root that has led to the breakdown in health, whether that's physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. And it was such an awakening moment for me. And in that process, through all that time, I learnt that my unresolved trauma from childhood and stress that I'd gone through that hadn't been resolved, and so therefore had been internalised in my body, had then broken down my health.
And that was what was making you sick.
And that was what made me sick.
And so through this, having the kinesiology done, the illness lifted?
Yeah, and then I started to get better. But it takes time, and that's a really important thing to remember when we're healing, is that it is a process. And if we can look at it as part of our own growth and our own awareness and embrace that process, and who we are within that journey and what we learn about ourselves within that time, because at the end of the day, nobody can just do it for you. It's about you being able to really understand and integrate and learn and grow in yourself. That's where the healing comes from. But it's not just healing, a return to where you were before, but a growing of who you are and who you know yourself to be.
Amazing. So that experience of having that kinesiology and going through that process, it sparked something within you that made you want to do this.
So then I went back to study again, and I had originally done muscle testing right back when I'd studied naturopathy, because muscle testing can be used as an information gathering tool of the body for lots of different ways. You'll find a lot of chiropractors who use muscle testing, but they're using it specifically to identify stress in the musculoskeletal system. I'd learnt muscle testing doing naturopathy to explore food intolerances and food allergies, and you know, how to test what foods were right for my body or not. And I'd used muscle testing for years like that. So I'd had this long background of practicing using muscle testing and feeling the difference between, which is probably a really good point to talk about what muscle testing is. What is muscle testing?
It sounds like you're using your body's own intelligence system.
Spot on, 100%. And you can use any muscle response as what we'd call an indicator to indicate whether... So you're putting slight pressure against direction of movement on the body. So imagine holding your arm up and somebody's slightly putting pressure on it to push it down toward the ground. If it holds there nice and strong and smoothly and consistently, there's no stress there in the nervous system, because your brain, your muscle response is being controlled by a nerve impulse coming from your brain to your muscle. If we've got a nice smooth nerve impulse coming down, imagine like electricity going to a light bulb, we get that constant emission of light. So we get a nice, strong, constant hold in that muscle. If something creates a stress, in that nerve impulse coming from the brain to the muscle, or in that electricity coming to the light will flicker, or that muscle response will flicker and it will get a little, get bouncy, it'll get spongy, it'll drop a little bit. And so that's what we're looking for. So it's not a strength test, it's a stress test. And we're looking for, okay, what's, if something creates a bit of a stress, then whatever we've just engaged with isn't resonating with your body, with the whole intelligence of your whole being. So we can use it then to focus on any part of what makes you the fullness of who you are, makes you human. The way I use kinesiology in my clinic is using muscle testing to focus on emotional stress or subconscious stress. And so I can get people to focus on different feelings, different statements, and feel how that resonates in the body. Because there's a difference between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. So your conscious mind can think, oh yeah, I'm really confident, or I want this, or I want to hop out on that stage and give this presentation and give this speech. Your subconscious mind can have stress associated with public speaking, with maybe as a child speaking out in front of the class, there was something that made that seem unsafe. And so while the conscious mind wants to get out there, your knees are going, your throat's constricting, you got butterflies happening in your tummy, and your body's got a whole other thing going on trying to stop you. And so that's the difference in the subconscious and the conscious.
Amazing. That's a great explanation. I think a lot of people do suffer from, I mean, here we are talking into microphones, but a lot of people do suffer from stage fright, and that is a big deal. And like you said, while some people might want to do that action, something else underlying is preventing it. So with the muscle testing, and I have had the pleasure of having this done with you, and it is amazing to, with some of the statements that I would consciously believe in myself, but then when we do the muscle testing, my arm or that part of me is just drops. There's no strength to it.
No,
so
integrity.
What are some common statements that maybe, because often people do things like affirmation statements as a way to try and get this shift in subconscious, but it doesn't always work that easily.
No, then that will not work for two reasons. One, you're using your conscious mind to engage with it, and the problem is not in your conscious mind. The problem is in your body consciousness, your subconsciousness. So it's about feeling it, not thinking it. So that's a really important differentiation. When we're talking about conscious, subconscious, your conscious mind thinks. It's the logical, rational thinking part. Your subconscious is the feeling part. It's the body feeling that comes with it. So when you're doing affirmations, you need to feel how they sit in your body. Your mind can try and tell you over and over again, but it's like the tip of the iceberg, right? It's just up there. The rest of it's below the surface, and that's what's carrying you through life.
Is there a common affirmation or statement that you work on?
So a really common one that I often work with people on is I'm worthy of love. And that's a really interesting one to unpack, because we also have to unpack in there what people subconsciously associate with love. Your conscious mind can think of love as one thing, but subconsciously your associations with love will have been programmed from your childhood. Most of our subconscious programming comes from childhood, right?
That's incredible, isn't it? Because when we think of love, everybody will have different associations with it. So whilst one person might see love as a really positive, amazing thing, someone else might see that as painful.
Especially exactly when they've had associations with, you know, and often not intentionally, but with if their parents have been divorced and the child has felt abandoned at that time, because children experience the world very egocentrically. They're subconscious beings. They feel everything immediately. So when there's an association that love is abandonment, or love is betrayal, or love means I have to do everything for everybody else, this was what can then become distorted in our adulthood, in our adult relationships. And so before then we even work on I'm worthy of love, we've got to work on what does the subconscious even believe love is in action.
This makes so much sense why affirmations do not work.
Yes.
A lot of the time, whilst they can be great, understanding why that, like you said, feeling into it. So if you're not feeling, so if you're saying that affirmation, I am worthy of love, and you're not feeling that, then you want to look at the underlying reason why, and that's in the subconscious.
That's exactly it, because the subconscious may actually believe what it associates as love is not even safe. And the subconscious will always work to protect your safety and survival. That's the point of it. It's an immediately programmed system that is there to keep and to protect your safety and survival. Because your conscious mind can only focus on one or two things at a time, right? conscious mind's fabulous. It's what allows us, like opposable thumbs, to be creative and really interesting animals that can do everything we do. But we need the subconscious behind the scenes to keep everything else running. And the subconscious does not think. It is just automatic programs that play out to protect us. So it's like when you're driving home and you've had a really busy day at work and you think, your conscious mind goes, I've got to stop at the shops and get dog food, all right? But then you start thinking about work and other thing that's happening and blah, blah, blah. And the next thing you're in your driveway, not only have you forgotten to get the dog food, you're also going, oh, I can't remember if that was a green light or a red light back in those traffic lights. Did I stop?
How did I get home?
Yeah. Exactly. You've had that experience, right?
Definitely. And autopilot.
Like, autopilot. It's the autopilot. 100%, that's it. The subconscious is the autopilot. So your autopilot has all sorts of things programmed into it that crisscross over each other like this really intricate spider web. So when we're working on, so if we come back to your affirmation thing, you know, another one people often work on is I am beautiful and I'm radiant, I'm glowing. You know, things about our external physical expression and our health and how we want to turn up in life. But sometimes we have trauma in the subconscious that says it's not safe for me to get attention like that. It's not safe for me to be beautiful or be attractive, because if I'm this, then I'll get unwanted attention, and then that's not safe. So I can't do that. That makes sense?
It makes so much sense. As a personal stylist, that I see this very, very often, that people say that they don't actually want to be noticed. They want to fit in. And part of us being the glorious beings that we are, when we start to focus on the external of fitting in or not standing out, you miss the magic that's within you. And beautiful. That's what we want to express to the world, not for them, but for us.
And that's it. That's when we need to be able to bring the subconscious in alignment with the conscious mind and what we're consciously wanting. Yeah. Because you would have seen people who just tend to then buy that one size too big or pick that thing that's not quite right, and even when the right thing's right in front of them.
Definitely. It's all, and that's where it comes back to still hiding.
Yes.
Yeah, and not wanting to stand out. And so once you've done the muscle testing and you've seen these resistance points in people and where they're not resonating, how then do you clear that?
So this is using a lot of mindfulness and a lot of body awareness work. So we work with people both in person and also online. It's about being able to connect the breath into the body and feel where the resistance points are when we focus on what it is you want to create. So say we're working on, I'm worthy of being heard. I deserve to be heard. So I get somebody to connect into their body with their breath, create that space of mindfulness, and then breathe into and feel I'm worthy of being heard, and find where the point of resistance is. So sometimes people's breath tightens, sometimes they're like, I feel heavy in the chest, sometimes their tummy has something going on, or they'll get a stabbing pain somewhere, and then we go and explore what is that. Because we hold memory right throughout the body, not just in our brain. And it's the feeling memory held right through our body. And so we'll go into that. And then so we'll get a person to sit in that and feel that space and tell me how old they feel. And it's amazing how often people go, I'm 8, I'm 11. They'll have this, it'll just come to mind specifically, this age is there. And so we go, okay, feel into that part. I want you to see, feel, imagine in as much detail as you can your 8-year-old self and what's happening for her. And the memory will come back. Because that's the part in the subconscious going, that happened, I can't allow that to happen again. So that's what gets triggered when this experience comes into my world. For example, you know, standing up and speaking, I can't allow that to happen again, and this is unresolved, so this is the trigger that happens in the body. And we can't obviously change what happened, but we can change our perspective of what happened. And this can be really powerful in working through abuse in earlier life as well. We can't change abuse, but we can change our perspective of it to realize it's not our fault, that it is not a reflection of who I am. We are not our trauma. And when we can take the adult consciousness back to that child consciousness and help our child self perceive the situation differently, we can change our physical response to that so it is no longer a sabotage.
It's incredible, isn't it? Because I think for so many of us and myself, avoiding feelings, avoiding emotion was a huge part of my life. So all of those feelings that, like you say, that 8-year-old self were shoved down. And it is incredible to be able to bring that memory up with the adult consciousness, so the emotion might still be there for a moment or two, and yes, it might feel uncomfortable, but once you clear it, it's gone.
And this is the power of being witnessed. Like, one of the fascinating things about humans, we are social creatures, we are interconnected, we're not discrete, separate little things, and we need to be witnessed, we need to be recognized. It's those bits in us that weren't witnessed that will be what are suppressed the most. So it'll be those bits we're not really consciously aware of, that haven't been processed, that haven't been held and received by others. And so the power is in being able to witness that younger self who was never witnessed at the time.
How beautiful. What beautiful work is it when being somebody that can be the healer in somebody's life and do that, but also with that acknowledgement that it is us that's healing ourselves.
And that's what's so powerful, hey, when your adult self can come back and hold your little self and go, you know what, that sucked and that wasn't right and that wasn't okay and that was about, you know, those other people there, or this is what we've learned from it and this is how we grow from it, and we allow ourselves to release the energy held in that space.
How amazing. I'm hoping some people listening maybe even had their own little, maybe some moments of awareness while they were going through this, because I think so many of us maybe don't feel heard, and that's something that if people feel into their bodies and start to notice where that is, and if memories do pop up, it's okay to look at them and witness them and view them and then, like you said, talk to that self and say, hey, yeah, that wasn't okay. That's very cool.
Because I was going to say, and you know, if you having a therapist to work with, having a therapist to help hold that space is really powerful. If you're not able to see a therapist, journaling is really, really important. Freehand journaling and just writing whatever words come to mind and letting your hand just scroll across paper, because that is another way to have it witnessed, to have it received, to express it and let it out. And this is also why meditation is so important as a tool, to be able to feel into and connect and witness yourself. Yeah.
And therapy is a great thing. I mean, all, even therapists need therapists.
Yes, I promise I cannot do my own work. This is why I'm so lucky that I work with my husband, and he's such a good therapist.
That is amazing. Yeah. That you and your husband both work together doing healings for people.
Yeah.
And, oh gosh, and you do past life regression as well. I know that Alice and I have spoken about this on the podcast before. And so how long have you worked together?
Oh, gosh, I'm going to have to think about this for a moment. Maybe 6 years.
And it's going well.
It goes well. Yeah, we do. I'm very, very lucky. We do. I know it's hard. It's a crazy thing to believe. We live together. We work together. We are pretty well together 24/7, and it goes well. I think it helps that I'm his third wife and he's my second husband. So we've learned. And we've come together a bit later in life, and, you know, we've both got our kids from our previous marriages, and
we have very similar stories, yeah, don't we? Yeah, the same with my second husband, and I'm his second wife, and we've got multiple children each of our own, and it was a full on household, but now ours have all sort of grown up and left, and now we're left sort of looking at each other, going, "What are we doing?" No,
and that awareness, you've got to keep growing together through life. Like, you're never static, are you? Always learning, you're always growing. And if you're both doing that, you're working together, then that's how you get through.
And often relationships are a huge one when it comes to the conscious and the subconscious mind, isn't it?
Oh, boy.
Because our whole life revolves sort of around relationships and interacting with other people. Even if you are sitting behind a computer desk, you're still engaging with other human beings.
Oh, completely. And we have so many subconscious. So if we think about the subconscious and how the subconscious is programmed, as children, we talk about kids being like sponges, right? And children have their subconscious minds completely open. We are absorbing everything that's happening around us, our culture, our community, media, all of the role models and the adults, because we're needing to learn, who am I and how do I fit into this space? Humans are social creatures. We need our tribe to accept us so we fit in, so we have our needs met, so we literally do not die. Because if our tribe rejects us and kicks us out, especially historically, like, you're dead. You don't survive out there in the natural world alone as a single human. We need each other. And so the subconscious is a survival tool of learning my role, my place, my worth and my value to fit in, to get acceptance and belonging. so that I can get my needs met and survive within this tribe, within this group. And so by observing everything happening around us, we learn, well, what is a man? What is a woman? What is a, and sorry for the gender specifics, but it is also part of our culture. And also we learn these gender binaries. You know, what's a man? What's a woman? What's a wife? What's a husband? And these become our subconscious roles that we learn about, and we learn how do I fit in with them. And this is why then, which is a bit challenging for lots of us, we grow up and realize we've married our mother or our father. Yeah. Or we're doing that. We always, I promise I'll never be my mother. I promise I'll never be my mother. And one day with your kids, you're like, oh my gosh, I just heard my mother. That's the subconscious in action. And it's, yeah, we all do it. So anybody out there going, I quit, and please also don't feel guilty about, oh my gosh, what am I doing to my own kids? This is the part, this is human nature, right? This is part of who we are. We can't change this part of who we are, but we can accept it, become conscious of it, become aware of it, and work with it.
And I do love that when we're healing part of ourselves, we're healing it for our children as well. And
spot on.
I know the amount of times I'll have some sort of epiphany, I'll have some sort of growth, and next minute my 20-year-old daughter will come to me and say, Mom, I've just had this
yes.
cleared. And I think it's incredible that we do have this ability as parents to
yes.
be able to clear our stuff, and it heals our children at the same time.
Because we are interconnected. Yeah.
We are all interconnected. And with your husband, so you both run the business, do you, and you said you offer Skype consultations
yep.
and in person if people are in the far north, Queensland, and you also have some online meditations courses that
we
people can
do. Yeah, we've got an online guided meditation course called the Soul Adventure. And so you can do the first few parts of that for free, or the whole course is only $49.
Amazing.
And it's all online. You get online access to it. You can download it, or you can just log in from whichever device that you're on. And those guided meditations are about being able to connect you and take you on journeys within yourself. So the idea of the soul adventure, to have that adventure with yourself, your inner self. So there is a past life regression meditation as a part of that. There's an inner child meditation. There's meeting your spirit guides. There's meeting your older, wiser self, which is a beautiful process. So just like we talked about in clinic, we take your current self back to your child self to help that child self understand. You can also bring your older, wiser self back in from the future to help you here and now.
Incredible. And I have heard before that sometimes when we do have spirit guides come in, it can be our future selves
sometimes,
coming in to help
yes.
us.
Yeah. Yeah. She can be pretty special and pretty cool to go, oh, wow, like, okay, I can get through this.
I am loving the sound of this future self meditation and all of the others. I want to thank you so much, Amy, for coming on and being part of the Divine Style podcast. If people do want to reach out and contact you or get access to those meditations, how can they best do that? I will put a link in the show notes as well.
You can check that out on our website, amyandmichaelharrison.com.
Thanks for listening to the Divine Style podcast. Please follow, share, and tune in weekly for more spiritual and self-love guidance. You can find out more and ask questions at jalinda.com.au and alisonmaiden.com.